Good morning. Appreciate being here this morning very much. And I would appreciate your prayers. I have some things the Lord's been talking to me about and I've had on my mind for a few days now. And my hope and desire is that every one of us will be able to grow and to receive the things the Lord has for us. This has been a blessing to me, and my hope is it will be a blessing for you too. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that maybe we'll just read that, and I'm not going to be able to explain it all at once, but the explanation will kind of unfold itself through the course of the message, Lord willing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in the 10th verse, says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." And I've never really understood that verse until the Lord began talking to me about it last week. I guess maybe week before last. And I'd like to look at a few scriptures. You know, he said that you don't inquire wisely concerning this. Well, I'm going to say a couple things about it right off the bat here. The statement, "Why are the former days better than these?" That statement assumes that the former days are better than these. It makes that assumption. And so you build on that. And anytime we start off with an assumption that isn't necessarily true, then everything else that's based off that assumption is flawed also. So I just want that to be in your mind. I'm thinking of the dispensations. Think of Adam and Eve. I believe that God designed mankind, Adam and Eve, in the probably the closest earth to heaven relationship that there could be. He had direct communion with them. He came down in the cool of the evening and he talked to them. He spoke directly with them. There wasn't sin in the world, so he didn't have to hide his face from them. They were directly in his presence. And then we know what happened with the fall. And Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. God said, "You can't be here anymore. These conditions for you to make it possible for you to be here don't exist anymore. You have to leave." They not only left the garden, but they were ushered out of God's presence as well. He didn't come down and talk with them in the cool of the evening. And ever since then, God's design has been to bring us closer and closer to Him. Okay? So, you think about Noah and the covenant that God made with Noah. And he gave him a few things. He said, "I'll do this for you." He made a covenant. And what was the token of the covenant? It was the rainbow. He said that, "I'm not going to destroy the earth again." And after that, man, by a flood. He said, "I'm not going to destroy the earth again by a flood." And after that, man had a limited connection with God. But then God came to Abraham. And he said, "You know, Abraham, I believe that Abraham sought the Lord in the way that he could. I don't know exactly what that." See, Noah, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe also, it doesn't specifically say this, but I believe that Abraham also had some sort of a desire. I want to please God. I don't really know this God, but I want to please Him. I want to live for Him. And if you'll give me the liberty, that's how I feel about it. It's my opinion. But God said, I want to make a covenant with you. And he led Abraham on a walk of faith. We've heard about faith this morning. He led Abraham on a journey. And it started out with, you know, some pretty simple stuff. And then Abraham, then he said, here, I want you to leave and I want you to go somewhere. You don't know where you're going. And he gave Abraham all kinds of tests. And his design was to bring Abraham and his seed into closer communion with him. He wanted them to be closer than they had been before. Moses, he also made a covenant with Moses and the children of Israel. And it was like it was another step. It was another step closer to God. And then Jesus came. And I believe that when Jesus came, you know, there's not really, the next step after that is for Jesus to take us all to be directly in his presence. These are dispensations that I'm talking about. Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming and living in us, it's the last dispensation. It's what the Old Testament talks about, the last days. This is the last thing. There's nothing that's, the only thing that's going to be more glorious than that is when we see Jesus face to face and we're directly in his presence and we commune direct, just just like Adam and Eve did, but even better because we'll see God in his glory. Well, I'd like to, Lord help me here, I'm not sure where to go with all this. But if you go to Mark in the 16th chapter. See, a lot of times I feel like that we can look and we can look at past times. And we can say, look what God did. Whether you look at the apostles at Pentecost, or the speaking that God did through the prophets, or the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire over the tabernacle. And we can look at those things and we can say, well, that was in the past. Why are those days better? Why was there more communion with God? Why were people closer to God? And it makes an assumption that those days are past and that what we have now is inferior. But I believe that we can see by the scriptures that there's never been a time where we've been able to be as close or closer to God. All right? In Mark 16 and 17, Jesus was instructing here, and he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And when Jesus left this world and he ascended to his Father, he said, I want you to wait until you're endued with power from on high. And we saw what the apostles were able to accomplish through the power of God. They laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They laid hands on dead people and the dead people, it was the same stuff that Jesus did when he was here. They had cast out devils. Remember at Pentecost there and all the people were gathered together from all over the world? And they said, well, what is this? Because everybody hears, we hear the gospel in our own language. And it was spread so fast and so powerfully. It was the power of God, and it wasn't just spread in a way that, yeah, these guys, they know these languages that they never learned, but they spoke in such a way that the gainsayers weren't really able to resist. It was the power of God. Think about, and it's, I'm just looking at this. It says, they shall take up serpents. Remember the story of Paul, and he was on a he was on an island. Well, you know why he was on that island? Because he had been shipwrecked. Okay? Sometimes we get this idea that being filled with the power of God means that I'm going to fly on a magic carpet and I can pick up snakes and I can do all this stuff. God wanted to give His people power for anything that they needed to do for Him. So why didn't He keep the ship from going down? Because that wasn't His plan. But it was His plan for Paul to go and minister to people on this island. And so they got to the island, and Paul's picking up sticks for the fire. And as he put them on the fire, here comes a snake that's trying to escape the heat of the fire, a poisonous snake, and latched onto him. And Paul just shook him off into the fire. And so everybody's sitting there looking and saying, hey, when's this guy going to die? And he didn't die. Think about Philip and the eunuch. God was using Philip, and God knew about this guy that was way down here in, I guess, Ethiopia, or he was going back to Ethiopia. He was charge of the queen's treasure house, I think it was, and something like that. And he was on his way there. Philip had never heard of this guy. But Philip had the Spirit of God. He had the Holy Spirit. He had the power of God in him. And so God was able to take him. And he said, I want you to go down here. You know, he could have transported him there in an instant. And I don't know why he does what he does. But he had Philip walk there. Or maybe he rode a horse or something. I don't know. But he gets there. And he talked to the eunuch, and the eunuch got saved and baptized, and then the Spirit of God caught Philip away, and all of a sudden he's back at Jerusalem or Antioch, or where, I'm not familiar enough with the details to tell you which city it was, but it was, and he took him and got him out of there and took him to another place he wanted. And it said he was found here, and he started preaching and everything. You know, that's what the Lord designed. Not just in the times. It says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Not that, you know, we could get together and we could say, well, we have the Holy Spirit. And so watch this. I'm going to drink this jug of commercial cleaner. Watch this, I'm going to drink this, it's not going to hurt me because I have the Spirit of God. Those kind of things, all they do is lift us up. That's all it does. If it were to even work, and you know, I believe there are people in the world today that they do those kind of things. And this is my opinion, but I believe that a lot of that is from a power that's different than the power of Christ. The power of Christ is something that's totally different. It doesn't lift us up. It doesn't make us into an idol or something that people look and say, wow, and worship and all that stuff. And it doesn't make us into some sort of a magician. It doesn't remove us from being able, from having to do hard labor and work and effort and we sweat. It doesn't remove us from those things. But it gives us the power to do everything. It equips us. It's an equipping. That's when he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It was Jesus saying, I want my kingdom to go forth in the earth, and I'm going to equip everybody that's a Christian is going to be equipped to do whatever I call them to do. Whether it's to go down to Ethiopia and preach to somebody they've never heard of, or whether it's to preach to a whole bunch of people that don't even know the language but I want to spread the gospel to them. Do you know how long it would have taken to spread the gospel to those countries if the gift of tongues had not been poured out right then? And you know, those same gifts and those same miracles and the same power of God is available today. I believe that. It says Jesus Christ yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that might, you know, if you want to know maybe what the title of this little message is, that's probably what it would be. Because the days that we have now don't have to be worse, don't have to be inferior, don't have to be devoid of the same power that existed back then. Maybe you won't see the same things, but there might not be the same needs. But when the needs arise, God wants to equip you and I to be able to meet those needs. And not everybody's going to have the same job, and not everybody's going to have the same gift. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the implied answer here is no, they don't. But they all have what they need to have. You and I, the Lord wants to equip us to do His work in the earth. But we can limit that, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit. There are people that believe that the time of the apostles, it was a time when those gifts were made manifest, but they're gone because God was trying to establish His kingdom. I want to tell you something. God's still trying to establish His kingdom. He's still endeavoring to spread it. He still wants to reveal His power in the earth. In John 14, we'll go there and read several verses. I want to spend a little time here in the 12th verse, John 14 and 12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." I don't really see any time limit on that, do you? I don't see any expiration to that. He's saying that the days that follow, I'm going to send, I'm getting ahead of myself here. "The works that I do, he shall do also." Now, I'm gonna come back to this verse because I'm not done with it. He's talking about, in verse 16, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Not for the next 10 years, not for the day of Pentecost and maybe 6 months beyond, not in the days of Peter and Paul, but all down through history until I come back, I'm going to leave you with this Spirit that will abide with you forever. Because it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." He said in the 12th verse, we'll go back to there. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I want us to note here that these words were spoken within 1 or 2 days before Jesus was crucified. This was the last real conversation that he had with his disciples before he was crucified. John 13 through 17, I think, he gives all kinds of instruction. It's there. Anyway, this was within a couple days, or maybe just one day, of his crucifixion. He had raised Lazarus from the dead at this point. He had raised several people. I don't even know how many, but there are several people he raised from the dead. He had cast out devils. He had done all the miracles. And I want to ask you, what is there from a physical standpoint, what is there greater than that you could do? Raise people from the dead, heal. I want to say this, that I believe that those things are still possible today. And just this year I've heard of some pretty incredible stories. I was amazed at Monarch this year when I went there. I heard of so many testimonies of the Lord healing instantly. I was part of a group of people that prayed for a man that was having a lot of problems in his joints and back problems and knee problems. And his testimony was that while we were praying for him, the pain totally left. It was gone. And he was healed. And I heard other stories like that. I've had that happen myself. Last year, I was in South Carolina. And I was sitting in the service. And I was trying to enjoy the service. But I had been having back trouble. And my back trouble was so bad that I got to where I felt like I'm going to have to get up and walk out. I didn't know what was wrong, but I said, I'm going to have to get up and walk out because I can't stand to be here anymore. The pain's too great. And right then I had an inspiration. You can sit here and enjoy this service. And so I went up and I said, hey, I stopped. I said, hey, can I get anointed and prayed for? And so I came up there to the front and a bunch of people came up there and laid hands on me and prayed for me. And the pain left right then. And I sat there and I enjoyed the rest of the service. I've had at least, this is me personally. I've had at least 3 times where that's happened, that I've been touched instantly at an altar of prayer. You can't take that stuff away from me. God wants to give you something in your life that nobody can take away from you. Where you can say, I know God did this for me. Not that every time something happens, the results are going to be what I think they ought to be. But He wants us to have stepping stones where we know the power of God. And we say, you know what? I know this has happened to me. I've seen this happen. I watched this happen to somebody else. I have stories about this happened to me. And Lord, I just want my trust to be in You. I really appreciate the Sunday school because I think it really kind of laid the groundwork for what we have here today. Jesus said, you're going to do the same things. The same things are going to happen. No talk about it. Those were not necessarily the best days in history. I'm not saying that the days we have now could be better than those, but they don't have to be worse. We can have the same results today. Okay? I know that's kind of maybe a little hard to swallow, but I believe it's so. And I believe the scriptures bear out that it's so. But Jesus said some other things too. He said, greater works than these shall He do because I go unto My Father. We sang a song, number 43. And I actually wrote that song down here in my notes and I was going to quote it during the message. But we already sang it, so I won't quote the whole thing. It says, our Father's wondrous works we see. We see the power of God, don't we? In the earth and sea and sky. And it says the raging winds and waves are calm when He says to them, be still. He does all those things. And we look up in the sky and we understand just a little tiny bit about how great God is. How big He is. How marvelous and mighty He is. The chorus says, what a mighty God we serve. Then in the last verse it says, our God, to save from sin's control, gave His Son a sacrifice. His grace abounding in the soul makes the earth a paradise. And you know, I appreciate the healings that I've had in my body. But you know what I appreciate a whole lot more than that? That I know what kind of person I used to be. And I know the things that used to hold me in captivity. And the things I couldn't break free from, and I hated them. And I knew they were wrong, and I knew that they were sinful. And God healed me from those. Which is greater? How are you going to love your enemies? How are you going to be able to return good for evil? How are you going to be able to control your anger? How are you going to, by the power of God? Those things are mighty. And if you'll give me the liberty, I believe that that's what He was talking about. I'm going to break people free. He did not say, I came to save people in their sin, but he said, I came to save people from their sin. That's what the angel told Mary. He said, his name, I want you to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now I'd like to, well, you know, Jesus said, he didn't say, I'm going to sin. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because y'all are just going to be able to do magical things all the time. You're going to be able to float around, and I'm going to give you wings, and you can, you know, you get stuck in traffic and you can just pray that car to go up and over and to the front of the line. You know, there are times when things like that can happen if it's necessary. All right? Jesus talked about, and I have seen mountains move in my life. I want to talk more about those kind of things in a little bit. He didn't say, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. But he said that if you love from one another from your hearts, if you have love one for another, that's the thing that people are going to know. This person's been with Jesus. This person has the power of God. You know, we can live, if we live whatever kind of life we want to, and we're mean and we're selfish and we're full of hatred and strife, and then we come and we try to conjure up some sort of a church service and we say, well, we're going to make this thing, we're going to make it out. I want everybody to know how impressive we can have a church service. And that's kind of in our minds. I want to tell you that the power of God starts at home between Sundays. It doesn't start on Sunday morning, and it doesn't end when we go out the chapel door. Luke 5 and 18. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Just want to make a couple comments about that story. It says that when he saw their faith, that was what enabled him to be able to go ahead and heal this person. The scripture says, we heard about it this morning, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because if we expect to have anything from God, or if we want anything from God, we're going to have to not just believe that He's some unknown creator up in the sky, but we're going to have to believe that He's going to do what we need Him to do. Not what we want Him to do, but what we need Him to do, the things that we need. Jesus said, the Lord will not withhold good things to them that ask Him. Just like a father is not going to give somebody a stone in place of a piece of bread. He said, you can have anything you need. James 1 and 6 said that if you need wisdom, you can ask God and He's going to give you wisdom. Might not be all at once, and it probably won't be the way that you want it, but He's going to teach you and lead you through the process of getting those things. God wants us to see literal manifestations of His power. Because When you get a group of people or a place in the earth where you don't really see much of that, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that. How do I explain this? Jesus told this man, "Your sins are forgiven." You know, I wonder. We know that the Scripture brings out that for your sins to be forgiven, you have to have a heart towards God. You have to come and be sorry. And I wonder if this man lying on that couch, sick, wanted a better life. And had some things inside. He had sins because Jesus said they're forgiven. And he saw Jesus. And we don't know. We can't really see behind the scenes. But Jesus was the Son of God. And no doubt he had already been dealing with this man. And this man no doubt responded. He had faith. And I wonder when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." I wonder if he himself had a little trouble believing, "My sins are gone." Because see, that was a new concept. Bringing the bulls and goats, Paul said there's no way that the blood of bulls and goats can totally remove sin. They had their faith in a coming Messiah that was going to give them access into heaven. And these people looked at him and they said, "What's this guy saying? He didn't offer a bull or a goat. But this man is coming and saying, your sins are absolved. You don't have any more. You're clean. You can go. You can get up and you can go from here." He hadn't said, be healed yet. But they doubted in their hearts that Jesus was who he said he was. And so Jesus said, "All right, you want to know that I have power? Get up and walk." You know, I think that man, when he got up and walked, I imagine that he didn't have any more trouble, if he had had any, doubting that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus came to bring healing and power in our lives, in every area of our lives. He came to bring power over addictions. He came to cast out sicknesses. He came to deliver us from infirmities. He came to do all of those things. And many times, I think that our faith kind of dies because we look and we say, you know what? Well, what's the cause the former days were better than these? Why were there more miracles? But there isn't really anything now. And we look at that and thought, well, yeah, the Lord did this and the Lord healed back there and the Lord delivered back there and all that. And our faith is stunted. And basically, we're laying it on God because we're saying, you know what? I want to tell you, this is the problem in much of the world today and in much of the Christian world today, is the power of God just really isn't there. They say we can't live holy lives, but then the miracles, the physical miracles and all that, well, that was back in the days of the apostles. What are you going to believe? What's going to be the cornerstone, the anchor of your faith? You can make up any kind of Jesus that you want to and say, well, this is who I'm going to worship. And we believe this and this and this. But I want to tell you that throughout history, there have been movement after movement after movement where people got together most of the time in times of great persecution and trouble and said, we want to follow God with all our hearts. And you know what every one of those movements were characterized by? Great manifestations of the power of God. Healings. People being filled with the Holy Spirit. People being delivered from their sins and from their habits and from their lusts and all of those things. All of that went together. Jesus came to bring us healing in all different ways. Now, I want to go to... Remember the story about the man that healed the... I'm not going to read it all because we're running out of time, but there was a man that had a son that was possessed with the devil. And he came, and the disciples said, "We couldn't cast him out." And Jesus said, "Oh, ye faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? You bring him to me." And so they brought him to him. He cast out the devil. And the father was talking to him before that. And he said, "This is what's going on." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth." And the father didn't really know what to do. He said, "Yes, I believe, help thou my unbelief." In other words, I want to believe. I want to believe, but I just can't. It seems like I just can't get there. You know, the Lord takes us for what we can do. And I'm so thankful for that. And the disciples came later and they said, "Why couldn't we cast him out?" This is in Mark, the 9th chapter. It's also in Matthew, the 17th chapter. And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Then he also said, "But you know what? This kind doesn't really come forth except by prayer and fasting." You know what happens when we lose faith in the power of God? We stop trying so hard to reach Him. Okay? So, well, the former days were better. So I'm not going to really spend a lot of time fasting and praying because we don't get those kind of results anymore anyway. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to say my prayer in the morning, "Lord, help me to be good." And then I'm out the door and the seeking's not really there. The earnestness isn't really there. The fasting and the praying with expectation isn't really there because the former days were better. And we make that assumption and we say, "Well, God gave that great power, but it's not really here anymore." And so then we live with the, "You know what? I can have all these failures too in my life because the former days were better." God doesn't really have that for us. The former days were better. I don't know why, but they were. And so then we don't really apply, we don't really give the Lord our whole heart and say, "Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart." And so then we fill our days with stuff for us. And you know, we have to work. I have a business that keeps me very busy. But I want to tell you something. I make time for the Lord. And you need to make time for the Lord too. You need to seek the Lord. No matter how busy you think you are, you need to take time to seek the Lord. No matter how busy you are, you need to do... There's times when fasting needs to be done too. There's different types of fasting. There's some types you can do it sometimes and some types you can do it other times. We need the Lord to help us with that. I remember this scripture... When he said, "All things are possible to him that believeth." I'm going to tell you about a time I had at Monarch. A few years ago, it was on the day that they set aside for... You can go be prayed for any day at Monarch. But they have a day called... We call it Healing Day. It's not that you can't be healed on other days. But this specific day, they take special time. And they say, "Anybody who has an affliction, come and be prayed for." And then the ministers get up and lay hands on and pray for them. I got up this was in 2018, 5 years ago. I had some major problems in my body. And it had got to the point where I really didn't know if I was going to live. And I didn't know what was wrong. And I had thought about going and having it checked out. Going medical and doing all that. And the Lord helped me to know, "I don't want you to do that. I want you to trust me completely." And so I did. Well, at first, I went and did a couple tests. Because my faith just wasn't there. And then Andrea said, you better do what the Lord told you to do, because the test came back and I spent a bunch of money and I didn't know any more than I knew before. And so Andrea said, you better do what the Lord told you to do. And so I did. And it was the last thing I did. I haven't done anything since then. And I still don't know what was wrong, and I still have problems with it sometimes. But the Lord has helped me. And I went and sat on the altar, and I told what the problem was, and I was in great pain. And they laid hands on me, and one minister prayed, and then another minister prayed, and then another minister prayed. And when the third minister was praying, I had a scripture come so forcibly to my mind. And it was this one: all things are possible to him that believeth. And when that happened, all the pain, I felt a tingling in my mouth. That's where all the pain was. And it all went away. It just vanished. And you know, I got up and I left. And several hours later, it started coming back. And I believe that the Lord helped me to understand, I've got this. I've got some things I want to teach you. I will let you have what you need to have, but I can heal you. And I've had times when I've done better and times when I've done worse. I'm doing better with it right now. But the Lord let me know. And another thing was when I get up to minister, I'd be fine. No matter how sick I was, I would be fine while I was in the pulpit. And the Lord let me know, I have this. I've got this. See, that's what faith. Faith is not just conjuring up what we're going to have happen. Faith is saying, Lord, I believe you've got my best interest at heart. I believe you're going to bring good things. And sometimes faith involves stepping out on an inspiration and say, no, I'm going to claim my healing here. But that's not what the Lord gave me that day. I'd like to just look at a few scriptures here, and I'm just going to read them real quickly because we're about out of time. In Isaiah 59 and 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I'm going to leave that there for just a minute. I'm going to get a scripture in two chapters back in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If you remember, Jesus came to his own country one day and he started teaching. And the people, let's look at that. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. Matthew, the 6th chapter. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. This was in his own country. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which was given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. I want to tell you that many times we fall far short of our potential and what we can have from the Lord by these different factors. The Lord said in Isaiah, I dwell in the high and lofty place because that's who I am. You know that humility is not just self-abasement to the point where we say, well, I just can't do anything and I'm just this. And there's lots of shows of false humility. I remember reading about a group of people and they were trying to be as humble as they could be. And so one guy laid in the doorway so that everybody could walk over him as they went from one room to another. You know what humility is? Humility is recognizing who God is versus who I am. That's what it is. It's recognizing that without Christ I am nothing. But with Christ, I am everything. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do anything by myself. But in other words, I am willing to be a vessel for the Lord in whatever capacity He gives me. I'm not going to take the glory for myself. I'm not going to be there for a show. Those are the factors. See, when we have... I mentioned a while back that there have been several different movements. You know, I very, very much appreciate the heritage in this movement here. I read about the pioneers, Brother D.S. Warner, C.W. Naylor, F.G. Smith, some of those guys, and they wrote, all of those that I just mentioned wrote books, and I've been reading some of those. And there are so, if you look at old editions of the Gospel Trumpet, which is the paper they put out at that time, there were so many manifestations of God's power. There was at least one raising from the dead. There were multiple healings, so many different healings. You know, it's not exclusive to our little group. We're a pretty minor little group here in the world. Very small. But any time in history that you read, I have not researched every single one of them. But if you look at different groups that started and their objective was to serve the Lord with their whole heart and soul, those same works were among them. And then as they progressed, it started fizzling out and getting less and less. And I believe the reason is not because God said, well, it's time to move on. I'm going to start another group now. But the reason was, I believe, that the people started getting lax. And maybe they got root bound. You know what root bound is? Where they just kind of got all wrapped up in themselves and they said, we are the only church, we're the only people, we've got all the knowledge, and since we do, we don't really have to seek the Lord for any more, and I don't have to have a personal revelation because all the pioneers before me spent their time on their knees and they got it, and so I'm just going to coast. And I believe that that's the mentality that a lot of them had. And so the power started lessening and getting less. You know that there are a whole lot more miracles within our little group 100 years ago than there are today. There were. If you read about it, there were. But I want to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. And it doesn't have to be that way collectively, and it also doesn't have to be that way individually. I have known people, I've personally known people that didn't have much faith in God, and you could tell it, and they would say it even, and their emphasis was on following a form, and you know they didn't really see much power in their lives, and they would gripe and complain because things would happen to them and all that. But I've known other people personally in my life that were spiritual giants, and some of those I remember Uncle Philip telling me he was one of the spiritual giants I knew. He said, I could write a book of all the things that I've seen personally. And he's got story after story after story. And I've heard a lot of his stories. You know, the Lord wants to work. And He wants to not just heal, but He wants to reveal secrets. He wants to solve hard problems for us. I remember reading the story of Daniel when he was in a real jam, him and his friends, because the king dreamed a dream and very unreasonably said, I want you all to show me the interpretation. The only problem is I don't know what I dreamed, so you're going to have to tell me about that too. And so Daniel and his friends were in a real pickle because they were part of the wise men. And they were all about to be killed because they couldn't tell the king what he dreamed. I'm guessing that they all knew, not Daniel and his friends, but there were a bunch of false magicians too. All they had to do was make something up. But they probably knew that if they slipped, or if the king somehow got wind that they were dishonest, or maybe while they were telling the dream, the king would say, "No, I didn't dream that," they'd be in trouble. And so they were all afraid to say anything. But Daniel and his friends, they didn't try to conjure something up. Daniel said, "Give me time. I don't know the answer, but I know somebody that does know the answer." And he prayed. And it says that Daniel, it says he blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, this is Daniel 2:20, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." You know, the Lord wants each of us to have a personal experience of the Lord coming and giving us and revealing to us things and giving us answers from things as simple as, "Lord, I need to find my keys. I can't find my keys. Will you please help me find my keys?" He will help you do all of those things. He reveals secrets. I remember hearing a story about one of the pioneers many years ago, 60, 70 years ago, and one of this pioneer's daughters was not doing what they should be doing, but they were doing it in secret. They were doing things in secret in their room, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to this lady, the mother, and said, "Go behind the house and look in the window." And so they did, and this girl, her daughter, was doing some things that were wrong, and you know, it was a turning point, or it was a big stepping stone, or a revelation in the girl's life. And that girl, as far as one of them passed away, but the other one is still alive, and they both lived for the Lord as long as I can remember. And, you know, personally, I want to tell you a little bit about my life. I got saved 19 years ago. And I spent the first three or four years where I had got saved and everything, but I didn't really grow a whole lot. And I only kind of gave myself to the Lord in a half-hearted way. And I remember one time, and even after I got married, or right before I got married, I went down to the altar to pray, because I just felt like something was missing. Uncle Philip came and prayed with me. He came and prayed with me a lot of times. When I went down to the altar, he would come and pray with me. I had other people too, but I remember he came and prayed with me, and he said, "You know, you need to turn your life completely over to God. You need to consecrate your life to God." And I did from that point. And I believe that was the point where the Lord really began to fill me with His Spirit and help me and give me power. And then a few years later, I'd been married for a few years, and the Lord began to put His finger on some things. I wasn't really, this time, part of it was about money. We didn't make a lot of money. And I had some things that I wanted to do for my family, and some things I wanted to do on my house and all that. And my money was all going toward that stuff. And somehow, there just wasn't enough left to work for the Lord or to give for the Lord very much. And I said, "Well, you know what? I'm gonna. And I even kept track of how much money I ought to be given. That I felt like it got into the thousands. And I said, "Well, I will. But the problem was, I was too busy eating at restaurants and going to SeaWorld and things like that. We did a lot of traveling. I wanted my family to have good things in life, and you know, the Lord wants us to have good things too. But the point was that I was not giving myself to the Lord. And I, one day I, at Monarch, I began to feel convicted about it. And I was already, I already knew, but the Lord dealt with me and I responded. I went to the altar and here comes Uncle Philip again. And he said, and I started telling him what was, well, I didn't tell him about the money. I just started telling him, you know, this is happening, this is happening. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I believe the Lord is blowing on your life. He said, you're not giving yourself to God and you're not seeing His power in your life. And I changed. I changed at that point. And I want to tell you, from that point, things were so different. Everything changed. You know, before that point, everything, it seemed like so many things broke and I had to fix them and it just kept a sap all the time. Things changed in so many different ways after that point. And recently, I have seen so many things personally. I could write a book too of things that the Lord has showed me. The Lord wants each of us to be able to write a book of things that the Lord did this for me. The former days were not better than these. These days can be as good as any days that there's ever been because I can have the Holy Spirit in my life guiding me and giving me power and helping me through my life and He can deliver me and He can work miracles. I've seen, just this year, I've seen so much and I'm almost done. I'm going to get down really soon. But I had, just a few weeks ago, I was so... I believe the Lord led us into the business that we're in right now. But the Lord let me know, I don't want you to get so busy you can't work for me. I want you, but I thought, oh Lord, what do I do? Because I don't have time. I got to do this and this and this and I got to... And one day, I'm going to tell you about two happenings that happened within about 2 days of each other. I realized one day, and I had not meant to do this, but I realized one day, you know, okay, so here's what we do, and you do it however the Lord tells you to do it, but I believe that everything we own is the Lord's. But I try to give a certain percentage of everything I make. I try to make that be the minimum. I'm going to give this, and this is going to be the minimum. Well, we had a whole lot of expenses go out, and I got behind in it. This was this year. I got behind, and so I hadn't given like I wanted to give, and I was behind, and so I said, all right, we are going to not buy anything extra until we get this taken care of. And our business had done well, but we had had a lot of expenses. And we had had, anyway, so I wanted to buy a nice set of headphones. And I said, no, I'm not going to buy that until this. But then I saw... I had been wanting to buy a new laser for my shop, for my business. And the laser that I was wanting to buy, I calculated that it would save me an hour to an hour and a half, maybe even more, per job. And it would pay for itself really quickly that way. And so I thought, man, I really need to buy this. I need to buy this. What I have cripples me. And so I was very tempted to buy that. And so I thought, should I buy this? It's a business expense. I need it. I'll hold off paying this money given for a little bit longer. And I made a decision, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to buy the laser until I give everything that I owe. You know... Now, I haven't told this really to very many people, but the next day, my brother called me and said, and it was a specific type of laser I wanted. He said, hey, did you leave a laser in the shop? I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, there's a brand new laser in the box in the shop whose is it? And I said, I don't know. We made a list of everyone who it could possibly belong to that we could think of. And if you're hearing this right now or online, and if it's yours, you call me and I'll send it to you. But I'll make a point about that in just a minute. I made a list of every single person it could possibly belong to and called every one of them. It was the same kind of laser that I had been wanting to buy. We can't figure out whose it is. And so I've been using it, and it's been saving me a lot of time. And if it's and that month that I had determined that was the biggest month in our business we'd ever had. Okay? The Lord doesn't always do that, but that's what He did. The next day, within 2 days after that, I played Monopoly with my children. And if you know anything, I know this is kind of maybe not what you'd expect to hear in a message, but I want to tell this. I feel like it's beneficial. In Monopoly, you have these sets of properties that you can buy. And there's 8 of them. And if you get one set, then and nobody else has a set, then you're probably going to win, almost certainly. There's 8 sets. And if you have one of a set, then that means that you have some control over that because somebody else has to get that from you before they can put houses and hotels. I was playing Monopoly with the kids. And anyway, I went on my turn and I landed on the first property of the first set that I could. It was the first property of one of them. And then the next time I bought it. Then the next turn I landed on the first one of the next set. And I went around that board and I went 8 times. There are 8 sets. On each of those 8 turns, I bought the first property from each set. In 8 turns, I had 8 properties. The first, and anyway, it was kind of funny because my kid said, well, Daddy, you don't have any money, so how are you going to win? And I thought about trading with them and kind of giving them an opportunity, but I decided, no, I'm going to teach them a little strategy. And so I beat them soundly on purpose. And it was to teach them a little bit about the game. But they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance at winning because I had control of the whole board. And the Lord spoke to me the day after that and said, you think that was a coincidence? You give your life to me. You give the part of your life that you can control to me, and I'll control the part you can't control. I'll find you're spending all this time because you think you need to do that to be diligent for your business to be successful. I can make your business successful if I want to. I can give you the opportunities. I can help you make the connections. I can do all that. I can do the same thing for your body. I can do the same thing for all of that. I've got, you know, the part that I couldn't control is the dice. But God controls the dice. He controls the dice in life. He controls all of those things. And if we give our lives to Him, He will bring the things that we can't bring. He'll make the connections that we maybe could only make if we give our whole self to whatever it is we're trying to do. But if we give ourselves to Him, He will order our lives. We'll see His power. We'll see. And I want to tell you something. I could go on for a long time about things I've seen. But if you will give your life to the Lord, He will order everything in it. He will give you. He might not make you rich. He might not make you healthy. He might not do all the things that you think you ought to have in life. But He'll give you everything you need. You pray for me.